Bienvenue, welcome to the United Nations Sahara. We're your hosts, Mark and Lucard. Hi, Lucard.
Hi, Mark. It's been a while.
We've not got Becky with us today, and we miss her greatly. We have to say we miss her greatly.
Yeah.
Now, we have had a special episode planned for a while, and every single time we try and record it, we get issues. We've had two main issues, life and technology.
Yeah, the combination's been pretty rough. I mean, I think everyone knows, obviously, with stuff going on, you know.
Yeah, and it's been difficult. Becky's internet is the worst. I mean, she may as well have a tin can and a piece of string, frankly. That would be a better solution to the internet she seems to have at the minute.
Yeah.
So that's one of the issues. She's trying to get it sorted so then we can do a bigger, fuller recorded. Now, we have been feeling cursed, I have to say. I'm glad the episode we have planned isn't about The Exorcist or something, because I'd be really worried.
I think I am too at this point, you know?
What we got planned, I'm not going to spoil it, but it isn't anything like that. So it might still be cursed, but it isn't anything too satanic. However, what we thought we'd do as a stopgap to make sure people know we're still around as a podcast and stuff like that, what we decided, Lucard and I decided to do was just do a sort of relaxed episode about one particular movie. A movie Lucard brought to my attention, right? One Cut of the Dead is what it's called. In Japanese, Don't Stop the Camera, which seems quite appropriate given what's in it. We'll get to that. Now, you recommended it to me, didn't you? Because you really quite liked it. But you were a bit little worried you maybe oversold it to me, weren't you?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I had seen this thing on The Last Drive-In on Shudder on Joe Bob Briggs' show. And I mean, it was late one night and I was just so blown away by this film. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. And, you know, going in, we'll give people the spoiler warning, of course.
Yeah. But I was just going to say we need to talk some spoiler warnings.
Yeah.
Yes. But this film's got a very unique structure that I think might be best experienced without knowing about it. So that is a warning. You
Absolutely.
Will have structure spoiled for you. However, it's still a very fun film. I will make one suggestion if you've not watched it. If you start watching it and you're 10 minutes in and you're thinking, this doesn't seem quite as fun as I've been sold, please bear with it.
Right.
Things work out. Honestly, because I'm going to come to this, but I had this issue myself. 10 minutes in, I was thinking, this really isn't what I thought it was going to be. It doesn't seem very fun. I thought this was a comedy. I don't know what's going on. You know, I didn't quite understand it. But you bear with it and it all becomes clear.
You're thinking...
That is your spoiler warnings, right?
You're thinking Luke Card was full of shit, right?
I was a little concerned that this was going to be me telling you how terrible I thought it was. However, it isn't. It isn't that way at all. I am very
glad you liked it.
The thing is, if you hadn't recommended it and I hadn't had to... I watched it today for this, first time today. If it hadn't been, we were recording about this, I may have stopped it after 10 minutes. That's how I felt about it.
And I
it
can wasn't, understand that. That's fair enough.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. So firstly, it starts and it appears to be, what it is there's a very odd scene with a zombie. And then we find out it's a film being made, a zombie film being made, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And the director's a real horrible piece of work. Very like Kubrickian, 42 takes on one particular scene. And it's like, oh, this is terrible. And I have to say, Lucard, at this point, I was thinking, okay. But 5 minutes in, it was like, well, this looks really cheap and the acting's not great and it's not funny. So what's going on? 10 minutes in, I was thinking, okay, yeah, I'd stop right now, but I have, you know, we're going to be talking about it, so I have to watch
right.
it. About a minute after that, it was like, hold on, this is all one take. I've just noticed this is all one take. So then technically I got interested in how they were doing stuff. And I think that was deliberate. I also think the way it was shot and the acting style was a deliberate choice, because we do see the same actors later and they can act.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
For sure. So it was kind of, it's extremely cleverly constructed piece of work, this.
Yeah.
However, let's get into the first part. So the first part is basically a 30-odd minute zombie film, isn't it? Cool. And we find out the end it's called One Cut of the Dead. And it is a one cut, or it appears it's constructed to be a one cut piece of cinema, right? Or a showing. And we find out the background to that in the second part. But so it's pretty clever. Did you like it from the off, or did you have to take a bit of watching to get to the same point as me? How did it hit you?
It was the same way for me, actually, because I'm thinking, okay, what am I watching here? Like, this is 10 minutes in, but much like you, I was like, okay, this is all one take. This is pretty crazy. And, just a little bit of background on that is, apparently it took them 7 times to get this one take, and we'll get more into that in a few minutes, but it
is genuinely a one take, because I just sort of constructed to be that way, given the film, how the film is, right? That's amazing. That is blowing me away even more. Yeah. I thought it was just constructed to look like one take, because there was some really clever stuff. There was a really impressive scene where a zombie's chasing a woman, and it's basically the camera's turning to the zombie chasing, back to the woman running, and back and forth, back and forth. Single camera, all in camera as well, it appeared. And from what you said, it sounds like it was genuinely that way. And that was quite impressive, that they managed to pull that off at all.
I
wasn't sure if it was constructed that way, but it looked like it was really happening that way to me. I really thought that was cool.
Yeah, I've never seen anything quite like that before, just that one take kind of deal. Like, I've seen, I like a lot of martial arts films, and, they'll try to do really long takes, but there's, like, so much going on here.
I do appreciate a well-choreographed film that does things in one take. I'm a big fan of, like, the MGM musicals, where they have an entire dance sequence without a cut for a minute or a minute and a half. I always really appreciate that. So this film, I appreciate a lot for what it was trying to do.
Hello, everyone. Lucar Dragomir just cutting in here for a second. It is here that we are going to place a spoiler warning for One Cut of the Dead. So if you don't want this film spoiled for you, I would suggest that you stop this podcast recording. And I really recommend just stop whatever you're doing right now. Go on Shudder or go onto Amazon and buy yourself a copy of One Cut of the Dead, and then come right back here and listen to us discuss One Cut of the Dead. It's a really fun film. So back to Mark and I, we're going to get more in depth.
Yeah, there's some interesting also little things within this first structure. There's like certain sections that seem to go on a little longer than you'd expect in a dramatic film. And you think, this is going on a little long. And they actually reference, it's a setup and it's referenced later in the film. And there's lots of pennies dropping as you watch the rest of the film about certain things that happened in the first part. So it's worth paying attention to the first part, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Really is.
Even if you think you're like, I think there's one point where like the director goes outside of the door and I'm thinking, what the heck? That's really odd, Like, it doesn't seem like it would be something to naturally flow in film, but there's a reason for all of it later on.
Yeah, there is. Let's talk a little, we'll come back to the zombie stuff in a minute, but let's talk about a little bit about like the release and stuff like that. Well, it was made for $25,000. $25,000.
That's
all. 3 million yen. And opened in a small theater in Japan and just grew and grew for film festivals. I think it first shown in the US. It was made in 2017, but I don't think it was shown until 2019 in the US.
Right.
And it just keeps making money. It's earned over 1,000 times its budget. How about that?
Yeah, that is the craziest thing to me. I mean, talk about almost like guerrilla style filmmaking. You know, it's
yeah.
It's
I mean, incredible. I know you're not a fan of it, but it's kind of the modern version of Blair Witch in terms of guerrilla filmmaking, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and you know what? Something like this actually, you know, when you look back on Blair Witch and you're like, okay, now we've come to this, it does give me more of an appreciation for that kind of film.
Yeah, this one is like the next. I mean, it's got, you know, it's commenting on the art of filmmaking for one thing, in many respects, isn't it? But it is also quite, it's not a dull in any respect or preachy. It's just getting on with business, and it's really, really fun. The premise is they're filming in this old like waterworks that someone says during the film as part of the script, it was actually a secret place run by the Japanese army where they conducted human experiments on reanimating the dead.
Yeah, I know we've heard that before in other zombie kind of films.
Yeah. So there's all that, and they like the real zombie appears. There's a real zombie appears, and he acts quite a bit different from the zombies they got in the film. But the director appears to love this, and actually, you know, he's all about the art. He's like an artist, and he's sort of saying, "Yes, this is real life. Let's." And carries on filming while all this craziness is going on. So it looks like the director has gone mad and keeps right. setting the zombies on them, it appears, right?
Yeah, he's the Japanese Stanley Kubrick, you know?
Yeah, it's a bit of that. He's properly crazy. We kind of find out more about him later. So as I say, this is like this. It appears to be one cut, or it is one cut, and it runs to 30 odd minutes. That includes the end credits, where we see something quite impressive happen later. How they did those end credits, which is just basically an overhead shot of a girl looking up, but she's in a weird symbol that sort of gets explained. But it holds on her for quite some time, which in itself isn't impressive if you're using like a dolly to do it. But they weren't, were they? They were doing something else, so it's kind of fun. Anyway, the film ends. So I hadn't clicked at this point. I was saying, but there's another, you know, almost an hour left. What? And then it cuts to like an ad for this film we've just watched. And the pen, you know, does it say a credit comes up saying a month earlier? So that's the first part, isn't it? The whole film, which is in isolation, if you didn't know anything about it, the only impressive thing about it is it appears to be one take. It's not the best film. I did like some of the characters. I like the crazy director. And I also like the makeup, the older makeup lady who kind of went a bit ash, didn't she? She went a bit ash with the zombies.
Absolutely.
I'm going to kill the world with an axe. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So again, she did some weird things that were felt a bit like, that doesn't seem quite right for this story, but there I was.
You're like, what's going on here as you're watching this?
But then I didn't know any of this until that. It's like, oh, well done. And then we get this thing of this director, the guy we see in it, who's the director in the film, is a real director who sells himself as being, what is it, fast and cheap, but average. That's how he describes himself.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty accurate for him, I believe.
Yeah. I think he's way above average, actually, for what he pulled off here.
I'm just saying he's like an average kind of guy, really. It's kind of what I mean.
Oh, yes, he is an average kind of guy. And he's making like videos. It's like making adverts and things like that, right? Cheap adverts. And we see him using one of the actors that we recognise from the film in this as like a guy in a wheelchair. He's dropping eye drops into to make him appear to be crying for this particular ad and stuff like that. And these people say to him, "Look, okay, we've started a new channel called the Zombie Channel. We want something really special. We want to produce a zombie film live and shot with one camera." He's like, he starts laughing, doesn't he? He goes, "That's just absurd." They say, what's funny? He goes, "Oh, okay." And it turns out he says yes to it, right? Even though it seems impossible.
Yeah.
And then we see his home life. It's kind of cool. His daughter is kind of infatuated with this young Japanese actor. And she's got trying to watch him on the telly, and it turns out this young Japanese actor is going to be in this film. And his wife, who we find out was an actress, but has given up. And we slowly find out why, right, as the film goes on.
Oh, do we ever?
Yeah, she when she acts, she gets properly into the roles in a to a dangerous level. There's a mention that she actually broke someone's arm while she was acting.
Yeah,
you know, because she was really in a role. So that's too much, right? So she gave up. Anyway, they cast this piece, and there's some comedy stuff like they're trying to do a script reading while there's a crying baby in the room, and they have to kind of shout over this baby and stuff like that. It's kind of fun. This is where the comedy starts, isn't it? This particular bit. So you watch this thing for 30 odd minutes. It's credited as a horror comedy. It's like, well, there's a few laughs, but not really.
Yeah.
The angry woman and the blood sprayed is probably as close as we get to something amusing in that bit. But almost it turns like out sorry, go on.
Almost like a J drama a little bit, you know, at this point. That's kind of what it reminded me of. Just, not even a big budget kind of film or anything. Just kind of everyday, Japanese workplace and home life, you know? Which, I mean, it's a nice thing to see, but at this point, I'm still thinking, okay, where are they going with this, you know?
Yeah, but it was kind of more, I kind of liked it because I think the director is a likable character.
Oh, yeah.
And his family life's kind of likable, so that helps. We find out the young actor's a bit of a douchebag, a bit.
Yeah.
A bit. And some of the other actors are quite nice. And there's also the woman who's going to become the lead is saying, oh, no, I can't be vomited on. She said, oh, I'd be happy to do it, but my agency won't let me do it. And they're all going, okay. And basically the director's, this poor director who, like, just wants to get work done, is listening to all these moany actors, isn't it? It's like, yeah, okay, we could deal with that. But having to sort of put up with it. And then also the producers, the TV station, like, have got these various demands on him, and he's trying to work it all out, isn't he? And they start working out how they're going to do it, and they kind of meticulously plot it. And there's elements in it. It's interesting because you see kind of elements mentioned at some points that aren't in the film we watched, right? We find out why later, but it's like, well, that wasn't in the film. And you find out why, because the film goes awry, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that is kind of part of the fun of it. You kind of see how they've improvised around it, and it's very, and why certain weird scenes happen in the film that don't feel like the usual way of doing things in a film, because they're actively improvising as they're going. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, of course, there's the one actor that gets incredibly sick as this is going on.
Oh, yeah, he gets explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not an actor. That's the sound man, isn't it?
Oh, is it and the sound one guy? Actor,
yeah, and there's an actor that gets he's an alcoholic, and he's staying sober until the day of the shoot, and he gets drunk.
Yeah, the poor guy.
But luckily, all he is a zombie, so, you know, they kind of work with that.
Yeah, talk about improvisation, you know, but all the stuff that seems kind of out of place in that first 20 to 30 minutes at the beginning, this is why, as it goes on.
Yeah, this is why. And two of the main actors get in a car accident on the way there, so it turns out the director has to step in as the director in the actual film, you know, the director character. And his wife, who used to be an actor, who, you know, gets too into it, has to stand in as the makeup lady. And you know what? She's probably my favorite in the whole lot. I think she was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I do like the director as the director too, though. It was kind of fun. The whole thing has gotten almost like, it reminded me a bit, you know, like old Mickey Rooney films. It's like, let's put on a show. Let's get on with it. It's kind of a bit like that was the vibe, in a kind of refreshing way. It was pretty good. So we see him rehearsing and dealing with it, and then they've got the show to put on. Two of the actors haven't turned up, so they got to improvise like crazy. The daughter, who, you know, was obsessed with this young actor, has also read the script multiple times and knows it backwards, but she's helping out on the backstage. And she starts making suggestions of how to work around certain issues, like one of them being dead drunk and the sound man not being around and then breaking a dolly, you know. Like that, and she starts to get into it too, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think she's come up in the film industry. You know, she's seen her father all these years, and of course her mother too, being an actress. And so it's kind of like she finds her calling a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's a crazy. It just works, this film. It's worth seeing, and it's worth, you know. The first, like I said, Lucard and I had the same thing. First 10 minutes was like, what? This doesn't seem anything but a cheap zombie film. I don't really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And it is interesting how on the way they shoot it, just looks a bit like bad acting. But when we see it in the real, you know, them being shot while they're shooting, they are acting. It's a different level of acting. Let's put it that way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a film within a film within a film.
Yeah, the film within the film that looks like bad acting, right. But the film looks like good acting. And it's exactly. So weird that it's the same thing. So it's possibly sometimes the substrate you shoot on, you know, the medium you shoot on, the type of film stock you use, can make something look cheap and badly acted when in fact it isn't. It just led me to think, kind of realize that. It was kind of interesting, I thought, that perspective. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. So, the second act wasn't as, the third act is really the real heart of it, isn't it? Really?
Absolutely. When that's when it all comes together.
Crazy improvise, and we're seeing these technicians, like, for example, holding up a prop body and head so that when an axe gets swung, they fly apart and, it's all done, and we see the director, who's meant to be in this film, like physically manhandling this drunk guy who could barely stand up, so he appears to be a zombie at a window, just because they're trying to improvise, and people are improvising. I did like the fact the spoiled actor actually mans up in the end, doesn't he, and actually becomes part of the team. I did like that.
Yeah, he really
does. After the makeup woman slaps him and says, "You've got your part to go to." He actually mans up. I kind of like that. I don't know if there's a good lesson there, but it was kind of
fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And then the kind of final girl, I thought she was great too. I believe her name is Yuzuki Akiyama. And from what I understand, she was a J Idol over in Japan.
That makes a lot of sense. That's a perfect. It's a bit like, I don't know. Ash, I guess, and the TV series Ash. You know, it's that kind of, maybe that's not a good approach. But yeah, it feels right. It feels right, doesn't it? It's a bit like Linda Blair turning up in Repossessed.
Yeah, that's a good example.
I'll tell you what, I actually, the original 30-minute section, I thought had a great ending. I think that shot of her with blood all over her was really good. It reminded me a bit of the Evil Dead remake. In some respects.
Oh yeah, I
thought
that
was generally good. I thought that bit was generally good. As part of that film, that cheap, you know, film vibe. The third act is the real heart of this, and you see little details that were in the earlier acts, either the film or the rehearsals, kind of come up. For example, the Sandman saying, "Look, I really need soft water, not hard water. It affects my sort of stomach." He keeps saying, "I emailed about it," and people said, yeah. He goes, "But I emailed about it." And then he finally drinks some hard water by mistake and gets explosive diarrhea off camera.
Yeah,
thankfully. But that means they lose the same man for a bit, so they got to improvise. They have to keep improvising, don't they? All sorts of things happen. And we get some really clever stuff. For example, we get a bit where the woman's hiding, and suddenly you see these weird bear zombie legs right in front of her, like a zombie's looking at her. She's just looking up, screaming, terrified. And then the legs shuffle away. You think, "Well, what's that about? Did the zombie not see her?" But when we watch it, it's actually one of the technicians has got some zombie makeup on his legs. He's holding up a sign saying, "Please pick up the axe on the way out," because they're improvising, right? They've got to come up with a different plot line because something's broken and they've got to go a different way. Clever.
It's genius. So clever. Clever. Yeah. That is the right word for it. I mean, because, like I said, you know, when you're watching that first 20 minutes, you do think, like, man, some of this is off, you know, and like you said, it looks a little cheap and everything. But then when that third act comes together, I mean, the whole thing, you're just like, wow, this is crazy. Like, whoever wrote this script was not only a big fan of film, but also a really big horror fan. And I think that's what made it a really special film.
Yeah, there's definitely something to this film, and it's definitely worth a look. Sure. I'm glad you recommended it. I'm glad I saw it. Like I say, the first 10 minutes are like, this is going to be a tough old podcast if it's all right. There must be something more to it, but it was nice that I didn't know going in the premise. I think it wouldn't have spoiled it, but I would have probably been more relaxed at the beginning too.
Yeah.
But it was like,
I didn't want to give it away though, because I wanted you to go in kind of blind, you know?
And I did.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I went into it as well, and just kind of not knowing, you know.
The closest thing I can think to another film like this is that there is a TV zombie series, a short one, like a mini series, written by Charlie Brooker, who went on to write Black Mirror and be like the creative head of Black Mirror. So got some pedigree. Called Dead Set, and that was a mini series, I think, in 5 parts, set around the Big Brother. It was basically Big Brother contestants, you know what Big Brother is. We're in this house and not getting along. But meanwhile, outside, a zombie apocalypse break happens. But they're unaware because they're in the Big Brother house. But essentially, the zombies start to intrude, in the house, and that happens. It's a great miniseries, by the way. It's a really terrific miniseries. Really clever. In a different way to this, but this was about the nearest I can think of, because it was like meta-textual, you know. Someone cut off society, not knowing about what has happened in society and stuff like that. This was even more meta-textual, I have to say.
Yeah.
It was very, very clever. I really, really enjoyed it.
I
feel like I've talked quite a lot. Anything you want to sort of go over?
Well, no, I mean, I think there is a lot to talk about, you know. It's really incredible. I believe this is the actual director's first film, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man. This is a guy to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and he did this in an actual film school in Japan. So, he was going to school to learn to make film, and this is what he and his co-stars and actors and everybody came up with. And, I mean, it's incredible. Just incredible. I mean, being able to make this movie for $25,000, you know, 3 million yen. And I mean, it's the money, it's gross, 3.12 billion, in Japan, which is like, what is that? Like $30 million worldwide. So, I mean, that's crazy. You know,
it's a
testament. Yeah. And it shows that, you know, I think it shows practical effects still work, because there are a lot of practical effects in this, and it's fun to see sort of the behind the scenes stuff as well. So it's, you know, like I said, it's just kind of a love letter, I think, to film and horror films. So I loved it, as you know, Mark.
Yeah. I just looked on IMDb. It's got 7.7, which feels about right to me. That's quite a good rating. And the very first reviews made me chuckle, because it says, definitely one of the most unique movies I've seen, which it is. And this, this was reviewed by Soul95, just to credit that person. The first third, I was a little confused about why it was so highly rated, and thought some of the choices were a bit odd. Not to say it was bad. The 37-minute long take was still amazing to watch, just a bit odd at times. So that reflects our views, doesn't it? I'm not going to read the rest, but that reflects our views. It is a very distinctive, an unusual movie.
Uneven, I would say. You could say it's uneven at parts, because, you know, you don't know what's going on. And a lot of times, you know, you're not in on the joke. And also, I would say, you know, obviously, if you're not a horror fan, why are you listening to this podcast? But if you're not a horror fan and you go into this, you're not going to get the joke, I guess, you know. But
yeah, it just feels like gory amateur drama a bit,
right?
In the first a bit, amateur's a bit strong, but it just feels a little cheap and not well acted. But like I say, if you then watch it through the proper medium, the film medium, rather than the slightly grainy video medium that the film's in, the acting looks completely different, and it's like interesting how much the medium makes it look different. It's really odd. it's a delight to be to become part of the answers, right? To unfold in front of you. I really like that.
Yeah, me too. I think that's what makes it kind of unique, you know. Just kind of going in and almost just, it's almost like a fish out of water experience, you know.
Yeah, it's like you're finding out the secrets that you didn't know before, and you kind of are okay with the film, but the more that gets revealed to you, the more you like it.
Yeah.
Right? And there's, for example, there's a sequence where the actress is just kind of squatting and screaming while we're hearing off camera, like, splats and things, and you think it goes on a bit long, but then when you see why that, because they have to set up a whole thing. And they have to keep it rolling because it's meant to be running live. It's quite amazing. And they even reflect that in the film, don't they? The film producer starts texting on the phone when it goes on too long, and the other guys are going, it's going on a bit too long. And she says, what? And stuff like that. So that kind of reflects us as the audience as well.
Right.
So I thought that was a clever reference too.
And they're holding up like the cardboard signs to the actors. As you
so they tell
earlier.
Them what to do next. Yeah, improvise.
Like, yeah, improvise. Yeah. So just really cool. And, you know, I think for horror fans like us, you know, I think just to say to people, you'll really enjoy it if you're, you know, a horror fan and also interested in the medium of filmmaking.
Yeah, I mean, the first section is kind of fun on a horror level. The second one is kind of fun on your dear. I've seen a director dealing with actors. Is like, the stroppy actor is like, why would a zombie use an axe? Zombies haven't got free will. They wouldn't use it. And they just say, well, there are different kinds of zombies. And the actors say, was I talking to you? It's like, okay. It's one of them. It was kind of, and then the third act, it all comes, the third act is where it really comes together and really entertains. And it's quite delightful, I'd say, actually.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
I'm very glad. Like I said in our chat, you know, I was like, I hope I'm not overselling this to you guys, talking to you and Becky. And, you know, I hope our listeners don't feel like we're overselling it, but we would love to hear your thoughts as well. It is available streaming on Shudder. There's the drive-in version, and then there's just the film without any of the drive-in stuff. So.
Yeah, I almost had the urge to sit down and watch it again just to see how it all joined up in the first one again. So next time I watch it, I might watch the drive-in version, actually.
Yeah.
I watched the vanilla one this time.
You can't go wrong with either. I've watched it, I think, three times. Two of the times with the drive-in stuff, and then, you know, one just the film itself. And I loved it all three times, and I'm sure, you know, like, this is something I'll be watching again and going back to quite a lot. I would say it's a classic, in my mind anyway, already. Now, that may be overselling it, but...
Yeah. Okay, I think we've kind of said everything we wanted to about this. We both really liked it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a strong recommend. And if you did continue listening, we may have spoiled it somewhat, but it's still quite a delightful film, and I would still watch it. For sure. You just have the surprise of knowing where it's going rather than not knowing where it's going. But I think that might help in some ways to you'd get through some of the early stuff. Maybe. Anyway, shall we wind up there? Like we've already said, we miss our Becky, don't we?
Oh, man, absolutely. You know, we always try to bring the three of us together to do these shows. And, you know, obviously... Mark, we enjoy each other's company, but it's just not the same when we don't have the trio, the band together, you know?
Yeah, so. We need, you don't watch the Two Musketeers, do you? You watch
exactly.
The Three Musketeers.
Yeah. So we always try very hard to bring all three of us together, but,
Been so long now. We've hit so many technical issues. We thought we needed to do something to let you know we've not just stopped. That's the important thing, and also it's kind of fun to talk about this movie too, so I'm hoping that the three of us will be recording soon. We're praying that Becky's internet improves, or I don't know, something happens, they stop digging up her street or something.
I know she's had a rough time all around, you know.
Yeah.
And our thoughts and you know, good vibes to her for sure.
Good vibes to her, and we hope we'll have her on again real soon.
Absolutely.
And tell us, you know, this thing we've been planning, we can finally get on with. That'd be nice. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Should we wind up there? So it's bye from me, Mark.
And bye from me, Lucard.
And until next time on the United Nations of Horror.
Thanks for listening to the United Nations of Horror. Visit us online at www.unhpodcast.com. Come join us on Facebook to chat about all things horror. Just look up United Nations of Horror and you'll find our group. You can also find us on Twitter at UNHPodcast. And be sure to look for our old episodes on YouTube with added video and some special treats. As always, I want to thank everyone for your continued support. Until next time, I've been Lucar Dragomir, wishing you sweet nightmares.